Facebook is filled with spooks. This idea that they're for free speech or anything, but, well, let's watch this. They can put out a video, and it's kind of funny. Let's watch.
My name is Aaron. I've been with Facebook for 2 years now. I'm a product policy manager.
What does your job entail?
We're part of the team that writes the rules for Facebook. If something violates our standards for safety and security, what Facebook could, should, can do.
Who's married?
You and your team are faced with very important decisions, especially when it comes to content.
There's very little agreement whether we should be leaving more content up, taking more content down. With any particular rule or issue that we're looking at, where something has come up where the rules are not 100% clear, we're not going to make everybody happy.
How does your team work on that?
Transparency is incredibly important in the work that I do. How do we think about the balance between harmful content and protecting freedom of speech? It's a balance.
Does it ever make you feel uncomfortable to be put in a position where you're having to draw the line?
Yes, and I think it should make me uncomfortable, and all of us who do this work. If 99% of the people are expressing themselves, sharing their family photos, exchanging ideas, and 0.001% are encouraging violence or spreading harmful content, that can ruin the thing for everybody. These decisions can have real effects on people. We're developing rules and policies without regulation. We're really navigating that space as best we can.
Why would updating regulations help you?
Regulation can help us better define what is acceptable and what's not. I think a standardized approach would help platforms all across the board actually give us guidelines where right now there's very few. Technology has changed so quickly, we need the legislative and regulatory space to catch up. Regulation can help us better define what the bounds of those rules should be.
Jimmy.
He's one of the 40,000. Hey,
oh my
God.
40,000.
He's one. Let me back that up a little bit. You can turn it down.
What the bounds of those rules should be.
He is one of the 40,000 people working on safety and security issues. Hang on. Learn why we support updated internet regulations, including reforming Section 230 at facebook.com/regulations. Now, you want to know the spoiler alert on that? That guy sounded like a real decent dude.
Wait, Jimmy, before you say that, I just want to say I really enjoyed how they kept cutting to his wedding ring. You know, so that means he has a family and kids. I trust him more now because he's worried about the things that I'm concerned about. You know,
that is exactly why they kept showing his wedding ring.
Yeah,
they kept showing his wedding ring to make you think that he's a decent guy who's into commitment and family.
And if I was on Facebook right now, I would never be part of that 1% who would go on there and wish ball cancer on him right after seeing that.
To me, he looked like a pencil neck dipshit climbing the tech twat ladder. But here we go. I would have gone, if khaki pants became a person, it would be that guy. But here we go. I definitely wouldn't call him a craven corporate tool at best. But here we go. You would never guess from an official Facebook video that I just showed you that lovely guy was, until a couple of years ago, one of the most senior people at the CIA. Now he's deciding what we all get to see and don't see on Facebook.
Now, Jimmy, didn't we have a story about the CIA where they had a huge problem that they don't have to tell us about, where they kept catching people with child pornography at the CIA?
That's right.
What's harmful to see on the internet for me. Thank you.
The people who got caught with child pornography at the CIA never got prosecuted.
No.
And I guess he doesn't prosecute pedophiles, but he's going to come police Facebook for bad content. I'm going to guess his calibrator is a little broken. Let's move on. Here's the article that Alex McLeod wrote about. He said, meet the ex-CIA agents deciding Facebook's content policy. Aaron, that guy you just saw, he's CIA. Or at least he was until July 2019 when he left his job as the senior analytic manager at the agency to become senior product policy manager for misinformation at Facebook, now known as Meta, the company that, oh, blah, blah. In his 15-year career, Aaron Berman rose to become a highly influential part of the CIA. He worked for the CIA for 15 years.
Oh, my God.
For 15 years. Senior analyst? Did he start in high school?
I think he started when he was four.
No kidding. For years, he prepared and edited the President of the United States daily briefing, writing and overseeing intelligence analysts to enable the president and senior U.S. officials to make decisions on the most critical national security issues, especially on the impact of influence operations on social movements, security, and democracy. That's what it says on his LinkedIn profile.
None of that sounds good.
And none of
like it all none, sounds like wow.
It all sounds the opposite of what you would want for someone who's a fact checker or monitoring content on a social media platform. You wouldn't, that'd be like the last guy you'd want. By the way, they never mention any of this information in that Facebook video. Yes, it was mentioned. He said transparency, and they believe in transparency and transparency.
I think they mean your records will be transparent to the intelligence.
Yeah, I think that is what they mean. Berman's case is far from unique, however. Studying Meta's reports, as well as employment websites and databases, Mint Press has found that Facebook has recruited dozens of individuals from the CIA, as well as many more from the FBI and the Department of Effing Defense. These hires are primarily in highly politically sensitive sectors, such as trust, security, and content moderation, to the point where some might feel it becomes difficult to see where the United States national security state ends and Facebook begins. Wow, that's great news. And after staring into his dead eyes, I feel even better about my government. In previous investigations, this author has detailed how TikTok is flooded with NATO officials, how former FBI agents abound on Twitter, and how Reddit is led by a former war planner from the NATO think tank, the Atlantic Council.
But yeah, Reddit, I knew about. They're even worse. They're one of the. They've been bad for a while.
Yeah, they were. They started out being great, and then they quickly got horrible. But the sheer scale of infiltration of Facebook blows those other platforms away. Facebook, in short, is utterly swarming with spooks. They have the most spooks of any social media platform in the world.
Wow, Facebook is haunted.
In a political sense, trust, safety, and misinformation are the most sensitive parts of Meta's operation. It is here where decisions about what content is allowed, what will be promoted, and who or what will be suppressed are made. Guess who gets suppressed? Me. Guess whose material doesn't get promoted? Ours. Or anybody that goes against the status quo. That's what Facebook should be called, status quo book.
Jimmy, look, the guy's a married man with kids. You saw him hold up a picture of a dog. He's got stuff to protect.
These decisions affect what news and information billions of people across the world see every day. Therefore, those in charge of the algorithms hold far more power and influence over the public sphere than even editors at the largest news outlets. So Facebook, more people get their news from Facebook than get their news from the New York Times or the LA Times or the Chicago Tribune. So that guy you just saw, who you don't know and never will see again, he has more power than the editor of those newspapers.
Hey, isn't the CCP in China known for sending a government minder to all the companies?
Yes.
We have 40,000 at this one.
They have 40,000 government minders. That guy has more power than the editor at ABC News or CNN.
Can you imagine having to go to that twerp to see if it's okay to say something?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
There are a number of other ex-CIA agents working in these fields. Deborah Berman, for example, she spent 10 years as a data and intelligence analyst at the CIA before recently being brought on as a trust and safety project manager for Facebook. Little is known about what she did at the agency, but her pre-agency publications indicate that she was a specialist on Syria, meaning she was a specialist at lying and pushing pro-war propaganda for Syria. So they bring on the biggest liars to then be the guys who are in charge of what is true and false on Facebook. You couldn't make this up. Between 2006 and 2010, Brian Weisbard was a CIA intelligence officer, his job entailing, in his own words, leading, quote, global teams to conduct counterterrorism and digital cyber investigations and identifying online social media misinformation propaganda and covert influence campaigns.
But they still haven't brought Aaron Maté to justice.
They can't get him. Directly after that, he became a diplomat. What? Underlining how close the line is between those two professions. And he is currently a director of trusted safety, security, and data privacy for Meta. Meanwhile, the LinkedIn profile of Cameron Harris, a CIA analyst until 2019, notes that he is now a Meta trusted safety project manager too.
Trusted? What do they have, like opposite land rules for naming their programs?
Yes. Yeah.
This is the goodness and a good thing happening program.
Hiring so many ex-U.S. state officials to run Facebook's most politically sensitive operations raises troubling questions about the company's impartiality and its proximity to government power. Meta is so full of national security state agents that at some point, it almost becomes more difficult to find individuals in trust and safety who were not formerly agents of the state.
It's like hanging out with the Patriot Front.
That's right. Critics argue that putting operatives from the CIA in control of our newsfeed is deeply inappropriate. You think?
Well, maybe you haven't heard of a little thing called the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act.
One of these critics is Elizabeth Murray, who in 2010, she retired from a 27-year career at the CIA and other U.S. intelligence organizations. This is insidious.
Well, see, she's 27 years in, and this
guy's 15.
I'm choking back my hatred right now for the guy, but that's that millennial, like that repulsive TikTok lady that Joe Biden had that everybody's like, this is the worst, but it turns out there's 40,000 more of her.
Yes.
And that guy is like a true believer, that piece of shit. He's like, yo, like we're doing good. Like, he hasn't. Like, this woman realized in her time in the agency what they're about, and that's why she's saying something. That's why they can need new, young people like you see on TV who are just going to believe this shit long enough, and then, you know, they blow the whistle and go to jail, like, I guess, John Kirikou.
So somebody who was there 27 years and left can say it's insidious, but somebody's only there 15 years and still on his way up can't say that. I see it as part of a gradual and sinister migration of ambitious young professionals originally trained with CIA's virtually unlimited U.S. taxpayer-funded pot of resources to surveil. They were trained to surveil and target the bad guys during the so-called global war on terror of the post-9/11 era. The problem is that having so many former CIA employees running the world's most important information and news platform is only one small step removed from the agency itself deciding what you see and what you do not see online, and all with essentially no public oversight.
But they did at least have to get certification to do waterboardings, right? I
mean, yes. In this sense, the arrangement constitutes the best of both worlds for Washington. They can exert a significant influence over global news and information flows, but maintain a veneer of plausible deniability.
Well, I got big news. It ain't that plausible.
Yeah.
Like, it's kind of obvious.
The U.S. government does not need to directly tell Facebook what policies it needs to enact. This is because the people in decision-making positions are inordinately those who rose through the ranks of the national security state beforehand, meaning their outlooks already matches the outlook of Washington. You don't get to be the head guy who writes the president's daily briefing from the CIA if you are an outside-the-box thinker going against the establishment there. No, you are that. That's why you get that job. And so that's why he was the guy who wrote the thing for the intelligence briefing for the president every day. And now he's doing this at Facebook. That is unbelievably dangerous. It's not only dangerous.
I couldn't wish more monkeypox on the inside of his dick hole right now.
And if Facebook doesn't play ball, quiet threats about regulation or breaking up the company's enormous monopoly can also achieve the desire. So when the government wants you to censor, you better censor, or they're going to come at you with some regulations.
Sounds like China.
China, 45 years ago. Legendary journalist Carl Bernstein released an investigation documenting how the CIA had managed to infiltrate U.S. and global media. It was called Operation Mockingbird. So the CIA used to infiltrate the newsrooms and then do propaganda. So we didn't know what was really going on. But now they don't have to do that anymore because they hire them on air. They just bring the head of the CIA on air to do propaganda. They don't have to. The CIA guy doesn't have to give a bribe to the journalist and then have him write the thing and then that. No, they just cut out the middleman. The CIA,
Operation Mocking Twerp, I believe it's
called. Yeah, Mocking Twerp. The CIA had placed hundreds of agents into newsrooms and had convinced hundreds more reporters to collaborate with them.
Patriots all.
These included individuals at some of the most influential outlets, including the New York Times. The CIA needed to do this clandestinely because any attempt to do so openly would harm the effectiveness of the operation and provoke stiff public resistance. But by 2015, there was barely a murmur of disapproval when Reuters announced that it was hiring 33-year veteran of the CIA manager and director Don Shikali as a global director. Even when the company announced that her primary responsibility was to advance Thomson Reuters' ability to meet with disparate needs of the U.S. government. She was still, nobody cares. Facebook, however, is vastly more influential than the New York Times or Reuters, because the Facebook reaches billions of people daily. Reuters and New York Times does not.
And so the CIA is sick of them, and they're moving on to the people who count.
Yeah, they got rid of. That's right. In that sense, it stands to reason that it would be a prime target of any intelligence organization. It has become so big and ubiquitous that many consider it a de facto public commons and believe it should no longer be treated as a private company. I'm one of those people that thinks Facebook and Meta and Twitter and YouTube should be treated as a public utility.
Well, they are now. I didn't know that they literally are because you got the government inside controlling it. They made it that.
Considering who's making many of the decisions on the platform, that distinction between public and private entities is even more blurry than many presume. And now you know the rest of the story about Facebook, censorship, and the partnership between the security state and social media.
Man, Alan, I like that guy, Alan, too.
He came Alan McLeod?
He's going to lose his Venmo now. They already got his PayPal.
No kidding.
Coming for his Venmo. Yeah, we talked about this a long time ago. He was for some Ukraine thing, remember? He was the guy that took his PayPal. He's a straight up good guy, though. I had him on. He's like he's.
We
like
should have him on this show. Malcolm, write it down. Let's have Alex McLeod on the show.
Alan? I think I wrote Alex on something.
I'd rather have Alex.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah.
Get them both. See both are available.
Sacramento, back here in Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Indianapolis, Louisville, Cincinnati, Tulsa, Oklahoma City. Go to jimmydorecomedy.com for a link for all the tickets for all our shows.